Hello and thank you for joining us. This is Brian, your host of the Perish the Thought Show. The opinions of said host and our guests have not been sanitized or scientifically tested, so please consume at your own risk. Ladies and gentlemen, and whoever else is listening, welcome back to the program. Today, my guest is Carlo Barrera, a fourth visit with me regarding the Dreamers Act and the DACA program. Carlo is a DACA recipient, and his family has been here for 20 plus years, and he is still the only member of his family that is not a U.S. citizen. So we are talking about the progress of the Dreamers Act. We started this interview back in November of 2020, right before the election, to just kind of shed some light on who Dreamers are. It's easy to think that these policies that our government puts out are just faceless and nameless, but there's actual humans behind them. So sit down and welcome to episode 4 of this series. So anyway, Carlo, my favorite DACA recipient, this is part 4 of our, indefinite part interview about what's happening with the DACA program and issues and you trying to get it. Tell us what's the latest update since we last spoke.
So when was the last time we spoke? Was that
3 or 4 months ago at least?
Yeah. So the latest update, which was on I think like the second week of March, was that the House Congress passed the DREAM Act. So the Dream and Promise Act, which basically is an attempt at permanent legislation for DACA recipients to gain like a pathway to citizenship. So that was passed like mid-March. And since then, so obviously the House of Representatives is controlled by the Democrats. So that was mostly guaranteed to pass. Everyone predicted it would pass and it did. And then the big holdup and the big question is whether the next step for it to actually become a bill is for it to pass the Senate. So that's what everyone was worried about, was the Senate, just because it's so close. It's 51 or 4.
Oh, so it's 50-50, right? Yeah, it's so equally divided.
Yeah. So I believe it's actually, it's 50-50. And then Kamala would be the tiebreaker vote. But with like the, and again, I'm not super, well-versed on the filibuster rule, but from what I know is we would need around 60 votes to actually to prevent the Republicans from filibustering the bill, which right now, if it got put up to a vote, the Republicans could filibuster it and then it would just go back to square one. So no real updates. A few weeks ago, 6 DACA recipients met with President Biden and kind of just told them their stories. And that meeting was sort of to urge the Senate to vote and pass the Dream and Promise Act. The reason that I've been reading, the reason it's been getting held up by Congress or by the Senate, and because a decent amount of Republican senators are for the Dream Act and are for DACA and DACA recipients. The problem is that it's getting packaged into kind of like a bundle of bills, one of them being the it's called the Farmers Act, which basically it was, which I'm for 100%. It's basically if you were a farm worker, an undocumented farm worker in the last 2 years, so basically highlighting those farm workers that worked through the pandemic and basically put food on the table of Americans during the worst pandemic in global history, essentially, that would provide a path, basically same thing as DACA recipients. It would provide like a 5-year temporary legal status, basically a green card for 5 years, and then you'd be able to apply for your citizenship. And a lot, if not all, Republican senators are against that bill.
Do they tell you, or do you know, it's so hard to know why or how, because just depending on which media source is spinning it, but what's their beef against it?
Their beef against it is that it would just encourage more. So the Republican beef against it is that it would encourage more immigrants from, you know, South American countries, Mexico, whatever, to come into the U.S. and work, become farm workers, knowing that they could that could essentially lead to a pathway to citizenship, which, I mean, I see that point, but at the same time, and there's been many interviews from like farm owners and other American farmers that there's a shortage of workers because there's only one set of people, one group of people that will do that terrible, like
just backbreaking clinical work.
Yeah, literally backbreaking under terrible health conditions. And those are immigrants, and those are people of Mexico, of South America, that are willing to just come here and
just to get an opportunity to be here
and get paid pennies on the dollar to break their backs, to be in scorching heat. And that's kind of like the opposite argument of towards against the Republicans is that, yes, like more people might want to come and become farmers and that knowing that that could potentially get them a pathway to citizenship. But at the same time, if you prevent that, then there's going to be a shortage of farmer workers,
which will then increase costs. And that's where people will really start listening is when it affects their wallet.
Exactly. So I think from what I've been reading and from, I watched some of the arguments that Republican from the House of Representatives did against the, when both bills were put up to a vote in the House of Representatives. And those were the arguments basically that they don't want these bills packaged. And because they're against the Farmers Act, because it would promote illegal immigration and that these people essentially don't deserve a pathway to citizenship because they came here illegally.
Have just because they showed up. Yeah.
They are the
opinion doing the work
of deserving to be here and to be
here. Because they're not just here sloughing, but there's that argument that, oh, they just come here and milk our system, which I'm sure there's some that do, but right. Some of the media is going to grab a hold of that sexy part.
Exactly.
And that to
and I think what a lot of, and they know this, Republican senators and Republican representatives aren't dumb people. They know that these immigrants, these farm workers are coming here, getting paid essentially nothing, paying those taxes back to the government, and then not reaping any of those benefits. So they're not getting any health care. They're not getting any tax refund in April. They're not getting any of those benefits that they're not getting Social Security, retirement, anything like that, that any U.S. citizen would get if they were doing those jobs. And they know that, and they just don't, they prefer not to share that with their constituents because they know that, like you said, that's not sexy, that's not appealing, that's not going to further their point and further their cause.
Well, why not just do the DACA bill separately? Why do they have to package it? Or is that a sneaky way for them to sneak?
Yeah,
that's all the pork projects, they call them sometimes.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. I'm assuming they want, from what I've heard Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer say about it, is that they do believe that both bills should be passed, which I'm totally on board for. And like, that's essentially what the previous administration did. And like, what Trump was trying to do the last 4 years was pretend essentially that he was on the side of DACA recipients and for Dreamers, but like he would use us as essentially a pawn and say, okay, we'll give amnesty and give a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers, but you're going to provide all funding for a wall, or you're going to, cut this part of immigration out of a bill or whatever, increase deportations, like fund ICE, whatever. And no Dreamer wanted that. We were like, all right, if we know what we deserve, which is a pathway to citizenship, we're not willing to essentially budge, or we're not willing to be used as a bargaining tool or a bargaining chip to get negative immigration bills passed, So that's been tough. And like, that's what happened the last 4 years. And now it's kind of the flip side of that coin, right? So now the Democrats are saying, we know that DACA recipients deserve a pathway to citizenship, but we also know that these farm workers who literally risk their lives in the fields during a global pandemic also deserve a pathway to citizenship. And sort of both groups of people, farmer workers know that DACA recipients deserve this pathway to citizenship. DACA recipients know that farmer workers deserve this pathway to citizenship. So we don't want to budge. And I think that's where like that sort of stop is coming from, which is. So it's frustrating for sure. But I think that's where we're at right now. And like, and again, I think I mentioned this last podcast, but I have no, I don't know. And I was mentioning this to a few friends. I was like, I don't know what the holdup is for even just like, just to put both of these, even if it's in a bundle, I don't know why the Senate hasn't voted on them yet. I don't know. Like, I legitimately, it's not like a rhetorical question. It's like, I legitimately don't know why, like, next week they can't just like gather and vote. I don't know if it's like a scheduling thing or if it's like, I have no idea.
Well, I have a theory, and it's a general government theory, is that because government has no competition, so they do not have to be in a hurry to do anything because no one's going to go anywhere else. Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
So it's a disease that it runs rampant worldwide with, you know, this great massive monolithic entity that's got no competition.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Because like, not in a hurry. Why don't care. They're not affected by it.
Exactly.
You know, that's my theory. Could be wrong. Someone could call me out on that if they want to, but I don't know. I just don't. It's ridiculous. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
On every level of government, they just go into a DMV. Just walk into a DMV anytime. There's a reason on that Zootopia movie that they had a sloth. Did you see it?
Yeah.
The sloth. Because it's just like, and that's what's so funny about it, because it's real. It's just like, I'm afraid to serve.
Yeah.
So you don't care. It's a horrible mentality, but there it is. But
that's kind of where we're at. Like a personal update, which is just sort of further proves how broken the immigration system is. So as I mentioned, I think during our first episode, and if anyone here is listening that's new, it's I'm a one of six kids from a family of eight, six kids of a mixed status family. So my three younger siblings were all born here. They're U.S. citizens. And then my parents got their citizenship through my older sister when she was born here as well. And she became, when she was 21, she was able to get my parents their green cards. And then now they're citizens. My brother got married. So my brother and I were the only DACA or only ones here undocumented for the longest time. Then DACA was instated. And then we both became DACA recipients. And then my brother got married almost 5 years ago, and then had his green card for years now. And then almost exactly, today's what, Friday? A week and a day ago, he got his
citizenship. Just saw that.
Yeah. So again, it just further proves how broken this system is, that out of a family of eight, now I'm the only one
it's mind-boggling. It makes no sense at all.
It was beautiful. Like my brother, if there's anyone that deserves it more, it's my brother. And I was like beyond static. It was a very emotional day. And like, he even told me like right after, I usually get pretty emotional, you know that, but the reason I didn't is because like, it just seemed very unfair. It seemed so unjust that I got something that you also deserve just as much. And he's like, I won't really celebrate or won't be happy until we both get what we deserve. And that's
because you've been here 22 years, right?
Yeah. 20.
It's great. It's mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
That is wild. Drives me. I don't know what this magic solution is. I don't know if it's wiping out all of Congress and starting fresh with people who have souls and integrity. Yeah. Not saying that they are all scumbags, but I don't know. The faith in the government is gone.
Oh, totally.
At least in my house.
That's the last sort of person. Yeah, I mean, that was like just kind of like a little anecdote to show that.
Yeah.
It's just been so frustrating that even now with basically the Democrats holding control of all three sectors of the government. So we hold the House. We have Kamala being the tie-breaking vote in our favor in the Senate. We have a Democratic president in Biden, and we still can't get anything done.
You think it'd be a slam dunk.
Exactly. It's all coming down to the filibuster rule. And again, I know a little bit about it. I watched like a few videos. Trevor Noah actually did a great job of explaining it. I watched one of the videos because when it was kind of like the main topic of conversation a few months ago. It doesn't really make sense, and it doesn't really have favorable like kind of background or impetus at all. It's like it really kind of stemmed from where during the civil rights movement, and it just seems like it doesn't make any sense. And the reason the Republicans are holding off so strongly is because obviously if it got taken away, then the Democrats would kind of do
both sides are afraid of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I don't know. I just don't, it's, I get, that's where I sort of get extremely frustrated with the government but yeah, I don't know. That's kind of long and short of it.
We like long and shorts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update, and we will continue to do this, and we'll just keep having these till this happens. And then our last one is going to be a great day when you're getting your badge, man.
Yes, that'd be amazing. Yeah, I think the next real update will be, I mean, I was right before this, I was kind of researching when, and like, you can't find out when, like, you know, you can't Google when will the Senate vote on this bill. It's just like, it's,
they don't even know,
so arbitrary, and it's, they have all these recesses, and like, it's wild to me. But yeah, we stay in touch. So I'll definitely text you if I hear anything about the Senate coming to a vote. And then hopefully we'll see what happens with those votes. Cause I think we need like 60. Right now we have 50, Kamala being the tiebreaker, but we would need around 9 or 10 Republican senators to flip and vote in our favor. But yeah, so we'll see.
Okay.
We'll
see. What, like, in closing up, someone that may be new listening to this, and again, if you're new, this is our fourth episode of this series, just kind of learning about this and talking about this, that we started like a couple weeks before the election. Is there anything else that maybe you want people to know that we haven't already talked about or I haven't asked?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like you said, I think we've talked about it in previous episodes, but it's just, and what we just mentioned, it's like, the system's clearly broken. Someone like myself, and I'm no angel, and there are doctors and nurses that are DACA recipients that
their profession doesn't make them an angel, man.
Yeah, but I mean, no, just
their soul. Their soul does. Their content of their character, which you have a lot of. That's okay. So yeah, you're above those people.
Thank you. But I mean, it's just like, just from a what's it called? No, but I think what frustrates me is that these people, there are DACA recipients who are doctors, who are essential workers, who literally risked their lives for this past year and a half. And like, it's, they what did they get out of it? They came out of a global pandemic. We're thankfully nearing the end of that, but they're still back in limbo. They're still back in this like uncertain future that like they went into this global pandemic with. Like, they could have very easily left and gone back to their countries. Or, I mean, it's just like, the fact that these people, and like you said, like we're everyone. It's we're teachers, we're classmates, we're neighbors, good whatever.
People contributing to the greatness of this country.
Exactly. And the fact that someone like me who's been here for over 22 years, still hadn't, like, all I know is the U.S. is my home. All I know is the culture of the U.S. is my culture. Like, and the fact that I still don't have peace of mind. I still don't know where I'll be in essentially 2 years. Another thing. I actually don't think we'd mentioned this last podcast, but so my work permit is currently expired. So for those of you who don't know, it's DACA recipients have to renew their work permit, which essentially is a card that allows you to be here legally and work here legally, which expires every 2 years. Mine expired April 27th. And I sent mine in back in towards the end of February and still haven't heard back. So again, back to your point, Brian, it's like, there's no incentive for you send it to the USCIS, United States Customs and Immigration Services. And it's, they have no incentive to produce it and to process those applications quickly. So mine's been sitting there for over 3 months. And now if I wanted to, so I can't apply to leave the US now, that benefit of DACA recipients, which was that you're able to apply to leave the United States, pay a fee, but apply to leave the United States under certain circumstances, like if you're visiting a sick family member or going for work or educational purposes. I can't do that right now because I need that permit first, that work authorization document first, before I'm able to pay the government more money and then wait another like 2-3 months to get that travel document to be able to go home and go back to my original home. So yeah, that's another frustrating part of it.
That's very kind of them that they will let you get a permit to pay them more money.
Exactly.
That's very generous of the government.
Yeah.
When you just talked, as before we came on the air here, you mentioned that your work, you're doing a lot of stuff for your work and they're traveling overseas and you can't go, you know, you're doing all the back, you know, the background work, but you can't go.
Yeah, exactly. What I was telling you, is that a big incentive of my current role at my job is that, you know, you put in a lot of work, kind of logistical work and background work. And then that leads to these big events that we do internationally. And my name was on the list to go to one of these like pretty big international events last month. And I had to tell them that I can't go because I don't have a travel permit. And then again, they're going on Monday to another international destination. Can't go to that. July, they're going to Europe. And again, all these events I would be kind of slotted to work at and enjoy. And I can't go because of my current status.
Because of status, yeah. Which is, I think your status should be based on, like Martin Luther King, the content of your character. That's how your status should be. If you're a scumbag, you don't get passes. If you're a good person, you get passes.
Yeah.
You know? That's simple.
I wish that's how it worked.
I think we just solved it. I'm sending this to somebody.
We should just start our own country, Brian.
Jeez, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. Well, okay. Thank you for the update. Sorry there's no progress and it's still dumb.
Yeah.
I'll
keep you posted on. I'll text you next time there's an update and then we'll get on another one of these.
Okay. Perfect, man. Thanks so much for your time again. It's good seeing you.
Of course. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you again for listening to the Perish the Thought show. We would love your comments and feedback on our website at briankeithparish.com/feedback. If you love or hate what you hear, please give us a rating on whatever platform you find us. You're still here? Click on the next episode for more from the Perish the Thought show.